Our scripture lesson today should sound familiar, I hope, to many of us, known as the Magnificat of Mary. I will be reading from the Living Bible translation, although if you follow along in the Pew Bible, it shouldn't be that different. I've decided not to sing it, because those who can't sing preach. But just imagine that it is a beautiful lullaby. This is Mary singing in the presence of her cousin Elizabeth. Oh, how I praise the Lord. How I rejoice in God, my Savior, who took notice of this lowly servant girl. Now, generation after generation forever shall call me blessed of God. God, the mighty, holy one, has done great things for me. God's mercy goes on from generation to generation for all who live in reverence. How powerful is the mighty arm of God who scatters the proud and haughty ones, who has torn princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly, who has satisfied hungry hearts and sent the rich away with empty hands, who has helped the servant Israel, who has not forgotten the promise to be merciful, who has promised our fathers, Abraham and his children, to be merciful to them forever. Through these words, may we hear a word from God. Amen. The Living Bible. How many of us are familiar with that translation? Anyone remember when it first came out in the 70s? Most of us had been schooled, well, many on the King James Version, others on the Revised Standard Version. The Living Bible came out in the 70s with a little bit of a different mission. Both the King James Version and the Revised Standard Version were very committed to direct translation of the Greek and the Hebrew, even if it didn't quite make sense to modern ears. The Living Bible said, no, we want to take this archaic language and this archaic meaning and translate it to modern meaning so that you understand what's going on in the text, even if it may not be a literal translation. That's in some ways in direct contrast to the King James Version, which uses this beautiful, poetic, Shakespearean language, and many of us hear Jesus speak in red in the red-letter version of the King James Version. And if that's not the version that's used, it's not really the Bible, right? Especially there are some beautiful pieces of Scripture, Psalm 23 being one of them, that just don't sound as good in the New Revised Standard Version. They just don't. Like many of you, I heard the Christmas story over and over as a young child in the King James Version, usually in a deep, gravelly voice. This is how it would go in the King James Version. It came to pass in those days. Already it sounds like a fairy tale. Once upon a time, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, and Joseph also went up unto the city of David with Mary, his espoused wife. I don't even think I knew what espoused meant, but Joseph did it with Mary, espoused. I didn't mean for that to sound the way it came out. This is an embarrassing moment in the pulpit. However, in the King James Version, it was very clear that Joseph went up with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Mary is great with child. There was an air of deep mystery about the whole thing. It was enchanting. Here we're re-enchanting Advent. This King James Version was surely enchanting. Definitely evoking reverence. Definitely holy. You would not dare to make light, like I just did, of the Holy Family. Not in the King James Version. So imagine then what happens in the mid-70s. When a cool, hip new pastor introduces the Living Bible to the Christmas pageant. Instead of hearing Joseph also went up unto the city of David with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, they hear instead, Joseph took Mary with him, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. Literally, I had a pastor who had a very similar experience to this and shared his experience of being in a worship service, literally in the middle of the worship service, and here comes the Living Bible translation of the Christmas story, and maybe a 10 or 11-year-old boy cries out, "What? You mean Mary was pregnant?" There goes all the enchantment. No longer a mystery. Yes, folks, Mary is pregnant. Really, actually pregnant. Obviously pregnant. I can attest to the Greek on that one. She has morning sickness. She feels bloated. She goes to the bathroom a lot. She tires easily. She sends Joseph out in the middle of the night for pickles and ice cream. Her feet and ankles swell. She can't sleep. She can't get comfortable. Mary is obviously pregnant. She sings her way through her pregnancy, as many women do, as many of all of the rest of us do, whether or not we're pregnant. She sings her way through it, especially when her pregnancy is most emphatically unplanned, especially when her pregnancy invites shame and ridicule, especially when she finds herself clinging to the conviction that in spite of it all, her child is wanted, beloved, a precious gift to behold. Mary sings her way through, "My soul gives glory to my God. My heart pours out its praise. God lifted up my lowliness in many marvelous ways." She sings her way through and comes to find that what is happening to her is a gift. The sad heresy of the centuries and millennia that follow is that Mary's song comes to be used against her, at least in my opinion. Instead of cheering on her righteous resistance to oppression and shame, we find in her words, we have come to call her gentle maiden, meek and mild, humble and lowly, submitting to the will of God, in her rightful womanly place, great with child but not pregnant. Not really. All of which I respond with a simple humbug. That is not true. Her name alone argues otherwise. Mary, the Latin form of Miriam. You remember her in Exodus. Miriam, the sister of Moses, the one who manipulates the daughter of Pharaoh so that she will claim Moses as her own child, this Hebrew who was supposed to be put to death. Oh no, Miriam makes sure he survives another day to lead his people out of bondage. Miriam, who herself becomes part of the triumvirate of leadership with Moses and Aaron to lead the people dancing, singing, shaking her tambourine across the Red Sea. Mary, Miriam, is a leader, a fighter. Her name literally means rebellious. Meek and mild Mary, as if. Mary has a vision. Mary has looked at the world around her and said, this is not good enough. And she has read her scriptures and studied Isaiah, and she has said, no, there is supposed to be a new heaven and a new earth. God has willed it to be so. This is hoped for by everyone around me, where the wolf and the lamb will dwell together, where the hungry will be fed, where the rich will know hunger. That one's kind of scary. Where the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And Mary holds on to that vision, and she sings about it. My soul gives glory to my God. My heart pours out its praise, Mary says. God is bringing about a new heaven and a new earth through me. Oh, wow. May not sound very enchanting if we focus on Mary's obvious pregnancy. But I would argue, in fact, that it is in her singing that the great with child, obviously pregnant Mother Mary truly becomes enchanting, at least according to the original definition. Enchanting, from the Latin incantare, which means to sing over or to sing through. Here is our enchanting Mother Mary singing over, singing through her shock and awe of this unplanned pregnancy, singing over the shame of unwed motherhood, singing over her morning sickness, singing over her hope that this child, that her child, may very well bring about the salvation of the world. Isn't that what every mother wants for her child? I would argue, in fact, that Mary's incantare does not end with her pregnancy. The enchanted Mother Mary, I would guess, keeps on singing. Through the pangs of childbirth, as she literally bleeds to bring your Savior and mine into the world, the same way every mother gives birth to her child, that's what Mary did. I would argue that Mary's enchantment continues as she nurses him and weans him, as she sends him off to his first day of school. Yikes, there's my baby. As she prays for him to make friends, to find his place in the world, she keeps singing over and over, my soul gives glory to my God. God is bringing about a new heaven and a new earth through my child. Oh God, please protect him. And I would argue that Jesus is enchanted by her song, the lullaby she rocked him to sleep with, and that he makes it his own life's mission. Remember how you traveled the star road to earth through your mother's body? The poet writes in our reading today. Remember that you stretched through the walls of her timeless waters into this world. In my reading of Scripture, even the King James red letter version, the life and teachings of Jesus sound very much like Mary's Magnificat. You could almost call it his theme song as he seeks the baptism of John, as he passes through the wilderness unscathed, as he launches a movement of justice and peace, as he proclaims the reign of God. Imagine Jesus singing this song that his mother taught him as he dies a horrific death and rises again. My soul gives glory to my God. God is creating a new heaven and a new earth through my mother, through me, through you. In my reading of Scripture, the entire life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is his answer to the call of the poet. Remember the melody you arrived with. We do not need a gentle Mary, great with child, in an untouchable holy family, to re-enchant Advent this season. No, we just need to sing, as the obviously pregnant Mary did, in this obviously messed up world, as hers was. In the words of our next hymn, that the womb of our lives and the source of our being labors with us still toward a new heaven and a new earth where all may be blessed and all may be fed. Amen.